The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, you betcha. Great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com. It is the Joe Pags Show. Also, glad to be on Newsmax TV Monday through Friday as well. Lots to get to today, lots to talk about, but not before we remind you that it's a Tuesday. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. E-O-U, sometimes Y. Bring it! You know what I'm saying? I think you do. Carrie, what's going on? Anything good?
Hey, how are you?
Making it happen?
Yeah, of course. Are you?
Get her done?
Yeah.
Got a couple of great interviews for the people today. Bottom of this hour will be House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Kevin Brady. We're going to talk about the tax reform bill. Of course, Kevin Brady, District 8 Republican, the great state of Texas. I think Kevin Brady's great. We've been interviewing Kevin Brady on this program for, 10, 12 years, something like that. He's a really good guy, and I like what he's doing with the tax plan. Right before the interview, we found out that the Senate was talking about adding the getting rid of the individual mandate in Obamacare to its version of tax reform. I asked Kevin Brady about that. But how many tax brackets does it go from and to? How many tax brackets does it does it change or get rid of? Are people who are lower and middle class really going to get screwed and pay for some tax break for the rich? Are people in high tax states like California and New York going to be exponentially hurt by this tax plan? Why would profits stay the same and wages go up with a new tax plan? So we cover all that. So make sure you stick around. There are a lot of questions that you have that I ask the House Ways and Means Committee Chair Kevin Brady about, and we get some really good solid answers. So make sure you stick around for that. Bottom of hour two, you remember the railroad killer, right?
I do, yes.
20 years ago now, something like that, we were covering this. I was a TV news anchor. You were were you doing radio news 20 years ago?
I was, yes.
Okay, so you were like 40?
I was like 14, 15.
40, 50?
No, 14.
So, yeah, this idiot would go on the railroad tracks and kill people.
Yeah.
And I think 15 is the number authorities are using, but it could be way higher than that. He's now dead. He was executed. But Holly Dunn is her name. She survived an attack by the railroad killer. Her boyfriend was killed by him. And 20 years later, she's written a book called Soul Survivor. Mm. And we're going to talk about that experience, how she got away, and the fact that she's now using that in her motivational speaking. So it's really it's a very interesting interview, having covered the story. And I know that the country was gripped by the fact that this guy was out there doing this, and I'm glad that he was found. And certainly, her surviving it helped to identify who he was and find him. But wow, I mean, such a harrowing tale. So we talked to Kevin Brady, talked to Holly Dunn. We've got a lot going on and plenty of time to talk to you as well. Had relatives in town. They just left this morning. And I don't know, Carrie. I mean, I'm not the most obsessive compulsive guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not somebody who, you know, has to have everything spotless, perfectly clean. I appreciate it when it is.
Oh, that's so me.
But,
yeah.
But I'm also a free thinker. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a sign on my bedroom wall that my grandmother had given me that said, a creative mind is rarely tidy, because I tended to have stuff around the floor. But once I started getting older, I found that organization really made my life easier and better. And in what I do now, although, you know, Sam is helping me and Karina helps with scheduling guests and stuff, I still sort of do it from memory. And the stuff that I talk about on the air, although I'll have maybe a web page or something that you'll read. But generally speaking, I don't use any notes. There are no notes in front of me. I mean, I've seen talk show hosts that have stacks of paper, and that's good. If that works for them, that's fine. But I tend to want things planned, and I want things to make sense. I want things to be logical. So I had my mother-in-law, brother-in-law, nephew, brother-in-law's girlfriend in town for the past 5 days, 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great to see him. We had a good time. We went to a Spurs game. We enjoyed. We had some food. We farted a lot, you know. But we did what we do.
Yeah.
So last night at 11 o'clock, my wife's like, so who's going to take him to the airport in the morning? I don't know.
When she's asking you, that means
right, the plane left at like 6 in the morning. Now, as everybody knows who's watching and listening, I go to bed about 3. 6 would be 3 hours into my sleeping time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. Hope you guys figure it out, because that should have been planned way before that. And now I'm just getting the face.
Oh, buddy.
Now I'm thinking about it this way.
Yeah.
I paid for at least one of the trips, which I'm happy to do. I'd do it again tomorrow. I am so happy to do it. Free room and board for 5 or 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
All the food you want. And I was excellent company. Look, I'm excellent company.
Sure, you were. Yeah.
I am amazing company. So nobody has a plan on how to take the people to the airport in the morning? Are you serious? So guess who had to stay up till 4:15 a.m. and take everybody to the airport? What is that about? I've got 3 children who are old enough to drive. None of them can make it happen.
Of course not.
I've got a wife who's barely but old enough to drive. No way she's doing it.
Well, she has to get the kids up for school and get them ready and get everybody going.
Why don't you just stop it with your knee-jerk reaction in support of the woman? Why don't you just stop it? That's just, you know what?
You took them to the airport today.
No.
Yes.
I took them to the airport today, and then I'm ruined tonight. I'm just, you know, it's like I'm going on fumes. I came home, went to say, I wear this, I'll show it on TV. I wear this Fitbit thing, and I got 3 hours and 14 minutes sleep. It analyzes your sleep.
Dude.
So I went back to sleep later on in bed for another hour or two. But I mean, even if you added it all up, it's like 4 hours and 45 minutes. Now, it's not my in-law's fault. This is just simply bad planning by my other half and by the rest of the family.
You better be careful.
I'm just putting it out there. Because if I would have said no, then what? They'd still be here? I don't mean, what does that mean? What would have happened?
No. Somebody would have said, you know what? I'll take them to the airport.
Are we asking too much for a little planning, Lockie? Tell me the truth. Am I asking too much that maybe when you know when they're coming, you know when they're leaving, you have a plan to pick up and to take back?
All right. That would be good before 11 o'clock the night before.
I funded the entire damn thing. The food, the entertainment, the Spurs.
You were a great company,
I was the man.
Yes.
I really wasn't that good a company, let's be honest.
Well,
I worked a lot and whatever.
Yeah.
But
you do for family.
Can
it's
I be
what
alleviated?
You do.
Can I be alleviated of the responsibility of taking to the airport?
No. You cannot.
What do you mean, no? You're taking them next time.
No.
You're taking my in-laws to the airport next time.
Okay.
Tell me no.
I'll be there.
1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. So, do you have a story that's the latest on Roy Moore? Is there a latest on Roy Moore? I've actually heard a suggestion by Ari Fleischer, who used to be the press secretary for George W. Bush. His suggestion was the current senator, I don't know the guy's name in Alabama, not the guy who's in this seat, the other guy, he resign his seat, run as a write-in candidate for the Roy Moore seat or the Jeff Sessions seat, and he wins that because he remains a senator, and the governor gets to appoint the seat that he just vacated.
What? That sounds real complicated.
I mean, that's just a little confusing to me.
Yeah.
And now we're here. Did you hear this story about how allegedly Roy Moore was banned from a mall?
Yeah, I did. I came across that story yesterday, or this morning, actually.
I mean, so do you have a Roy Moore latest? Because I'm going to talk about Roy Moore for a minute here.
I have what Fox News was talking about, what they want the president to do, maybe. Some Republicans.
Okay.
I don't know if you want that.
You want to do that now or you want to do that after break? Well, why don't you do that now?
Okay.
And Karina, I'm not going to take calls on my in-laws. I love my in-laws. They did nothing wrong. It's not their fault. This is bad planning on our part. So if the people are calling in about that, let them go. I will take calls on Roy Moore for a while. Bottom of the hour, you'll get all the questions answered about the tax plan, the tax reform plan, from the guy who's writing it, the Ways and Means Committee Chair, Kevin Brady. Carrie, if you can, before we go to break, give me that story that you have the latest on Roy Moore, and then I'll throw in a few common sense, logical questions when we come back. Go ahead.
Okay, from Fox News, your move, President Trump. That's the feeling among Republicans as the party scrambles to deal with the political fallout involving Alabama Senate nominee Roy Moore, who is denying allegations he pursued sexual relationships with female teenagers while an attorney in his early 30s. President Trump should intervene in Alabama immediately, since Scott Jennings, a Kentucky Republican who worked as an advisor to former President George W. Bush and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Moore is embarrassing the president and puts his agenda in jeopardy. The president returns to the White House in the political storm the Republican Party is facing over Moore Tuesday evening after a 12-day foreign trip through Asia. When the accusations against Moore first surfaced in the Washington Post last week, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders said the president believes that if these allegations are true, Judge Moore will do the right thing and step aside. But the president hasn't weighed in much since, telling reporters he's been too busy in Asia to follow the scandal. Moore has denied all the allegations and has given no indication he'll drop out. But his polls show Moore losing ground amid the accusations. Republicans are now watching to see how the president will respond. He could side with Republicans who are condemning Moore and call on the candidate to drop out ahead of next month's election. He could pressure on Moore by saying he would support his expulsion from the Senate if elected. He could support a write-in effort asking Alabama Republicans to support someone like Attorney General Jeff Sessions instead of Moore, whose name cannot be removed from the ballot. Or he could choose not to intervene, bucking establishment Republicans and saying Moore's future should be left to the voters in Alabama.
Very interesting. I mean, the whole line that he's embarrassing the president. No, he's not. The president has nothing to do with this. He's not embarrassing the president. I mean, should the president weigh in? President Donald Trump is the leader of the Republican Party right now, whether they like it or not, even though John McCain and Mitch McConnell and these other guys think they are. They're not. The president is. He will weigh in. It'll be interesting to see what he says. And I'll opine about what I think Roy Moore should do right now. But we'll talk about the allegation that he asked for a phone number, the allegation that he somehow locked the doors and wouldn't let somebody out of a car, the allegation that he was banned from a mall. Now, keep in mind, I am completely open to the idea that Roy Moore is a bad guy and did a lot of bad things. I don't have any idea. I'm also open to the idea that these are a bunch of lies. So we'll talk about it a bit. We'll take your phone calls on it again. You want to know about this tax reform plan, you'll stick around for the bottom of the hour with Kevin Brady. Stay right here. Joe Pags Show.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It's the Joe Pags Show. Great radio stations all over. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Lots of people want to talk about Roy Moore. Okay. So, Carrie, now, keep with me here and correct me if I'm wrong about any of this. Five women now, right?
Yes, that's
are
right.
Saying that he did something inappropriate.
Yes.
The harshest allegations are that he took a shirt and pants off of a 14-year-old and touched her through her underwear, which is disgusting. It's a child molestation. It's disgusting. I'm not at all making light of any of these charges. Another allegation was that a 16-year-old who was a waitress said that he would tug on her hair and pay a lot of attention to her, I guess even flirt with her. She's the one that was with Gloria Allred yesterday. And the thing that people are putting all of their eggs in the basket of are the fact that he signed her yearbook.
Right. When he said, I guess, that he didn't know this woman or he didn't remember this woman.
Right. So a couple of things. The 14-year-old one, she says he asked her for her phone number. We've already talked about this. In 1979, nobody had their own phone number when they were 14, unless she was extremely rich and there were a bunch of lines into the house. Her parents have since been talked to and asked a simple question, was there a separate phone line in her bedroom? They said no. So I don't know how he asks for the phone number and mom and dad aren't the ones answering going, hey, 32-year-old Roy Moore wants to take you out, little girl. Here's the phone. So he would have to go through the parents to date a 14-year-old back then. I mean, I'm being logical, trying to use common sense. And again, he may have done those things, and he may be disgusting, and he may go to hell for it. He also may be completely innocent. I don't know. When it comes to the 16-year-old, the allegation is he waited for her to not have a ride one night, And then instead of taking her right home, took her behind the building and was groping her, I guess grabbed her breast or something. And she was screaming, no, 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 try to grab her head, she said, and move her head to his crotch area, to which she said, no, stop it. She's crying. And she tried to leave, but he locked the door. And I guess there are people questioning whether there were electric door locks in the 1970s and 80s. There were. Sure there were. But the idea that you couldn't just unlock it and get out, I don't know. And then either he threw her out of the car or she jumped out of the car. She's not sure which one. Now, he says he doesn't remember her at all, but then there's this passage in her yearbook where he signs it. And he signed it on 12/22 of whatever year it was. Carrie, when do you get yearbooks?
At the end of the year.
Is December the end of the year? Am I asking dumb questions
year.
Or am I trying to be logical?
I can understand where you're going. I mean, maybe she had it. There's always an answer probably for that. She had it. Maybe she'd had it for a couple of months, and then she wanted him to sign it. Who knows?
Or, she says that he insisted that he sign it. She says that he said, I want to sign your yearbook. And how did she present it? You just had the yearbook at work? So I don't understand. Hey, look, again, he might be a disgusting predator of children. I don't know. I am completely open to any side of it. But the idea that we're supposed to be illogical and accept anything anybody says is a little bit ridiculous. You get a yearbook at the end of the school year. He forces himself to sign the yearbook and then writes the date 12/22 in it. And then he writes Roy Moore, DA of whatever. I mean, who does that? Maybe he did it. But why would it have been in December? Because it begs the question, did somebody write that in afterwards? Did he really write all that stuff? Who knows? The signature, and I'm not a signature expert, does look like his signature. I don't know. There are people on the internet saying it doesn't look like his signature. I think it does. So having said that, let's go to the allegation that he was banned from going to a mall. At the time he was allegedly banned, hearsay, through a former police officer whose name I don't even know is out there, says that it was well known that he would troll the mall for teenagers. That's what you've heard too, right?
Yeah. And that I get this officer who had talked to the New Yorker that he may not have had an official ban from the shopping mall, but he was run off from a number of stores. That was what this one.
Well, it's been reported in other places as he was banned from the shopping mall. Now, if there's an assistant district attorney, which is what Roy Moore would have been at the time, if there's an assistant or deputy district attorney who law enforcement is told to not allow to the mall, do you really think nobody finds that out when Roy Moore is out fighting to keep the Ten Commandments in front of the Supreme Court building? Does that really not come out? And the answers I'm getting on the internet are weird on Twitter. They're weird. Well, man of power, nobody would say it. The cops were told to keep the ADA away from the shopping mall because he was preying on young girls, but nobody else knew about it? And one person says, well, you never heard of a dirty cop or a dirty DA or a dirty this and a dirty that. Yes, but everybody would have had to been dirty to hide the fact that you got to keep this guy away from young girls. It is illogical, some of it. Maybe not all of it. And he might have done these things. So the question remains today. It's a pretty simple question. What does Roy Moore do? And I said this yesterday and I'll stand by it. Roy Moore should drop out. Not because he's guilty of anything, but because now, and yes, the left has succeeded, he's become too much of a distraction. If he doesn't drop out, you're basically handing the seat to a Democrat. If he does drop out and Luther Strange can be written in, it doesn't even have to be a write-in. See, Carrie, I think it's 76 days. The ballot has to be set 76 days before the special election happens. Mm-hmm. Okay? So let's use our brains here and be logical again. The governor can change the date of the election. It's either the governor or the secretary of state, probably the secretary of state. It's a Republican state. So they can change the date of the special election. Instead of it happening in 4 weeks, they could change it to happen in 3 months. And if they do that, they can legitimately get a different name on the ballot. But Roy Moore needs to be the one who decides, I'm not going to run anymore. I'm dropping out. I don't know that anybody can kick him off the ballot. He won the primary. So I do think he's got to get off the ballot and allow that state to remain red and allow that seat to remain Republican, or else you're going to, through arrogance, hand the seat to a Democrat, which is not what anybody wants, not anybody who's in Alabama. But you're going to do that. This other guy, Jones, is going to win unless something happens. Then Roy Moore can deal with these allegations and come back twice as strong next time. Just a suggestion. We'll circle back around to this one. Kevin Brady next.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, also Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Really glad to have you here today and really glad to have this guy on. It's the House Ways and Means Committee Chair, District 8 Republican from the great state of Texas, Kevin Brady. Kevin, how are you?
Hey, Joe, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Hey, it's always an absolute pleasure. As you know, a week and a half ago, I'm sitting in the White House. I don't know how I got there. Kevin, I don't know how that happened, but out of 5,000 talk show hosts, I was one of five invited. So,
wow.
Congratulations. Thank you.
I
think I mentioned your name, and the president was like, well, we got to have him then. we're in the East Room, and I'm sitting there with the president of the United States, and boy, he's just glowing about what he thinks this tax plan will do. And, I mean, literally beaming like he's a proud daddy about it. So let's break it down. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 tax brackets right now. This new plan will give us how many?
Go to 4 tax brackets, and we take the bottom one to actually to 0. And so that gives us tax relief at every income level.
Let's talk about tax brackets. The left is saying, and Schumer was giving Pinocchios about this, but
yep.
The left is saying that you're taking the 10 and 15% tax brackets and you're screwing them and you're making them both pay higher. They're saying actually 0 to 10% will now pay 12%. Is that true?
No, absolutely not true. In fact, we take the 10% bracket and make it 0. And we double the standard deduction, which means we protect more of the first dollars that families earn. In fact, this is exactly, I always like to point out to my Democrat friends, this is exactly what President Reagan did as well, backed by Vice President Biden, Vice President Gore,
right,
and other Democrats as well. So they know this issue. They're just distorting it.
So 10% now goes to 0. Say we double the standard deduction, Kevin, can you, in layman's terms, explain that to my viewers and listeners? What does that even mean?
Yeah, so bottom line is we get to protect a certain amount of money tax-free from Uncle Sam. That's a good thing. Today, it's about $6,000 a person and around $11,000 for a married couple.
Okay.
So we double that to $12,000 and $24,000 that is tax-free from the government. We fold in the personal exemptions, and then we create a family tax credit. So bottom line is a lot of not just modest income, middle income families, one, get their tax cuts up front, and secondly, will no longer have to itemize. In fact, I think 95% of Americans will be able to file using the simple postcard style system and won't have to itemize to get their tax cuts.
It's the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, Kevin Brady. You know, and that's exciting, but I think that when we say things like double the standard deduction and the
people don't know.
We're busy working and stuff, so
yeah.
You're trying to break that down doesn't make a lot of sense. The left is saying the middle class is not getting a tax break at all. In fact, if you look at the secret taxes that are in this thing, which I'm not sure what the secret ones are, the middle class is seeing an increase to pay for a tax break for the rich. Do you even have to respond to that? Because it's just dumb.
No, you can't even make that stuff up. In fact, Joint Committee on Taxation says the opposite, that there's very strong middle class tax relief in here because there's a couple things we do. First, we do protect more of those first dollars you earn. We lower the tax brackets and rates at every level. We create this new family tax credit that is not just bigger, but doubles in number of Americans who can use it. And we get rid of things like the alternative minimum tax. That's that second tax that Uncle Sam uses to get you. And so all that results in very strong tax relief for the middle class.
It's Kevin Brady, House Ways and Means Committee Chair. He's marking this thing up and getting it done. We're going to talk about how you're ahead of schedule in a second. But other accusations from the left is, and I've never understood this, and Kevin, I think last time we spoke, we discussed this. Why is it that the lie that you have to pay for tax breaks even exists? I mean, in you know, I'm just a dumb guy. You know that. You've known this for years. I'm kind of a dumb guy. But if you tell me I get to keep more of my money and the government is going to get less of my money right off the bat, that doesn't tell me that I have to pay for my tax cut. It means I get to keep my money and the government needs to spend less money, no?
It is your money, and that's our point of this. And it's also your time. You know, the amount of time people spend to do their taxes is just continues to grow and grow and grow. And so we want a tax code that's respectful of people's time, that is simple and fair and flat. And think about this. Can you imagine a code so fair and simple that each of us knows what each other's deductions are?
Right.
Because we have exactly the same ones. And we're really pushing for that type of simplicity. And by the way, in Texas, for example, where I live, look, this will create over 80,000 new jobs, and a family of four in my community, two teachers, will save over $2,000 a year, which Washington thinks isn't much. But I'll tell you, for families, you know, that's important. You can do that. You can do a lot with
that.
A
lot of money.
That type of tax cut.
It is. It's Kevin Brady, House Ways and Means Committee Chair. Always appreciate the time. Where are we getting the number $1,180 to every taxpayer?
Yes. Yeah, so
because immediately we get that number,
for
right?
The average household in America makes about $59,000 a year. So that it varies from state to state and area to area. But for that family, they get a average tax cut of about $1,100. You know, a small business person on Main Street just making $60,000, they see a $3,000 tax cut. So this really drives toward those modest and middle-income families and local businesses in a big way.
As I was talking to the president and to Kellyanne Conway and to Cliff Sims and all these other folks at the White House, they were saying it really effectively will be more like $4,000 or even $5,000. Where are they getting that? It sounds like that repatriation of money has something to do with that.
Yeah, it really does. So we're not banking on tax relief alone.
Yeah,
we're talking about raising paychecks. Growing paychecks. They've been stagnant for a decade. So every economist looks at what we're doing here, how it grows the economy, vaults America back into the lead pack worldwide. And companies like in Texas who compete and win worldwide, today we block them from bringing their dollars back to be
right.
Reinvested in our country. Here we open it up. It's a zero tax rate. So, you know, economists estimate that not only do you get tax cuts, your paychecks increase. And in Texas, they expect just the median household will see an extra $2,500 a year in higher paychecks. And so it's got two big benefits for families.
It's Kevin Brady, House Ways and Means Committee Chair, Republican, the great state of Texas, District 8. So with this money coming back, did I just hear you right? 0% tax? Now, they're already paying tax in the country where they are.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're not going to tax them on top of that.
We tax ours here. We tax them abroad. We punish them. To bring them back to America.
Well, as it stands today,
stop
Kevin,
doing that.
If they were to bring it back today without this tax reform bill that you're heading, it would be 35% on top of what they've already paid?
Yeah, and well, less what they pay in the other country. Bottom line is they don't bring it back. They leave it outside, and why do we do that?
Do we know how much that money is? Is it
$4 trillion? Last time I asked for an estimate last year, is $2.5 trillion. My guess is the president thinks... Probably told you he thinks it's well over $3 trillion
he said four.
Of
he
American
said four
profits
to me, yeah.
Stranded overseas.
He thought it might be four. It's Kevin Brady, House Ways and Means Committee Chair. I've got to ask you this because it's confusing for people. I think I get it. Wages, as you said, have been stagnant. They've increased, I think, 0.1% in the past 8 mm-hmm. to 10 years, while profits for corporations have gone up 11%. 11% by all this regulation, all this Obamanomics. So now with this tax reform... The people who are against it, who don't understand it, are saying, why wouldn't the corporation just keep all the extra money? Why are they going to share the wealth? Why are they going to give it to the wages or hire more people or expand their businesses? What's the impetus? What is the what are we doing in this tax reform plan that will be the incentive for businesses to reinvest that in their people, research, development, and more?
Yeah, so look, profits don't drive paychecks. Productivity does, and in business investment. And that's our problem. That's a missing ingredient. You know, businesses have not been investing in local plants, equipment, software, technology that really drives workers' paychecks. They've been cutting expenses. They've been investing elsewhere. So what this whole tax reform plan for businesses is saying, invest now invest here in America, and invest in equipment and technology that allows your workers to be more productive. That's what creates paychecks, and this is why this is so different than Obamanomics and all these other things where they just say, Washington, spend more. Here we're saying, look, local businesses will tax you less, invest more, and that's a big difference.
House Ways and Means Committee Chair Kevin Brady, we always appreciate the time. As you know, we're heard and we're listened or we're viewed all across the nation. So in California and New York, they're saying Kevin Brady and Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell want to punish Californians and New Yorkers who don't vote their way, because in high tax states, there are people with big mortgages and people who have higher income who are, they feel, are being taxed unequally. Is that true?
You know, I don't think so, and here's why. I think the current tax code double taxes people. It raises taxes on every American, regardless of what income level they're at. So some can get a state and local deduction.
Yeah.
And so the current tax code, basically, we all have high taxes and we subsidize each other. Rural communities subsidize cities,
right. Middle
income higher, low tax states higher. So we have a simple proposal. Why don't we stop doing that? Why don't we lower tax rates for everybody and you just pay your own taxes, so local tax. So for the first time, Washington doesn't punish you or reward you based on where you live. It's a big change, but it's a fairness issue. And in those high tax states, by the way, California, New York, they still see tax cuts because we're lowering those rates.
And why don't they complain to their state leaders to lower their own taxes as it is? I mean, they're being taxed so much already.
I think that's the key. Look, the biggest problem here is those local mayors and governors are really pushing for themselves to be able to continue to increase local taxes. That's the problem.
This broke right before we started speaking. The Senate says now it wants the Obamacare individual mandate gone as part of the tax reform bill. Can that happen?
Yes, it can, and I'm encouraged by the fact they believe they can add it and keep it in the Senate. So far, they haven't produced any health care-related reforms. This would be very encouraging if they could put this in. It's certainly in the House side. There's a lot of interest in adding it at some point. Certainly the president, who visits with me regularly, would like to see this happen too.
Now, I know that you've got to run. Last question on this. Before we started doing the interview today, you said you're a little bit ahead of schedule. The president would like to have this signable by Christmas. It looks like you might be able to convene or think about convening between the Senate and the House by Thanksgiving. Is that a reach?
Yeah, so we intend to move it out of the House this week. And, in fact, we thought we would begin work tomorrow on it. We're going to start here in the next few minutes to start that whole process. The Senate's going to take it up next week. So, yes, right after Thanksgiving, we're going to start to work the differences out between the House and the Senate. Our goal is to get it to the president's desk by Christmas.
Are you apprehensive that it's going so smoothly, Kevin?
Well, it is. This is a big challenge,
yeah.
And so we've still got a lot of improvements. And, Joe, look, we're Republicans. We think you improve things every step of the way.
Right.
And even on the House bill, I think we can continue to improve it. So I'm excited about us moving it out of the House for the first time in 31 years.
He's a great representative, been a friend of mine for a long time. Thank you so much for coming on the show for all these years. And thanks for the insight on this. I think there were a lot of questions that you just answered for my viewers and my listeners that they weren't getting anywhere else. Kevin, I appreciate you.
No, thanks, Joe. Take care. Let's stay close on this, okay?
Yeah, we will. Absolutely. House Ways and Means Committee Chair Kevin Brady, appreciate the time. Back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
Great to have you. Welcome. It is the Joe Pag Show, 1-800-383-9624. Carrie, if I don't say so myself, I think that was one of the most comprehensive tax interviews I've heard about this reform bill.
It was good. It was very informative.
I just think that we got some answers. A lot of people are going, what does that mean, the minimum tax of the deductible with the thing? What? And then who's going to, why if I live in New York, am I going to be paying more? What's that all about? Mm-hmm. And how many brackets and what about the mandate? I don't know. I just felt like I wanted to ask the guy who's writing it.
That was good. Good
I felt like that was the way to go.
I think you're right.
Afterwards, he's like, Pags, you the man. Anytime.
No, I don't think he said that.
But yeah, Kevin, you the man.
Yeah.
That's what he said. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. A lot of people holding to talk about Judge Roy Moore, candidate Roy Moore, and I definitely want to get to you. In fact, I'm going to grab one call on taxes because the other lines have all been packed with Roy Moore calls. I'm going to go back to Roy Moore because I know that you want to be heard, and I definitely want to hear your take on it. I have no problem with people disagreeing with me, but don't be disagreeable because you can be. Disagree because you've got some sort of fact to hang your hat on. And I've laid out some of the questions I have in my mind about these allegations. And again, they might all be true, and maybe they're misremembering from 40 years ago. But some of this stuff doesn't make sense. Like, he asked me for my phone number. No 14-year-old in 1979 had a phone number. Or he locked the door so I couldn't get out, and either he pushed me out or I jumped out. I mean, I think you would remember either being pushed out or jumped out. But again, it's 40 years ago. You never know. The idea that he signed the yearbook, but now people are questioning whether it's really his signature and his handwriting. I don't know. And why, if it's your yearbook, why is it at work, and why is it December, not May or June? So just some questions. I don't know. If the guy is a molester, I don't want him anywhere near the Senate, and he should be out of the public eye. And unless the statute of limitations are all up, and I think they are, he should face some charges, face the music. If he's not, this is a witch hunt. And there are people going after a guy because they think that seat is available for Democrats. If there weren't a special election, would we not have heard about this? Kerry, if nothing else, isn't at least the timing questionable?
I would say yes, definitely.
And there's a report, I didn't verify it, don't know if it's true. I'm sure you've heard this, where one woman is saying she was offered a lot of money to make allegations against Roy Moore. Did you hear that one?
Yeah, I've heard that one, yeah.
So, you know, I'm a logical, common sense kind of guy. And I'm also a fact guy. I don't just say, I feel like it maybe. You know, I get why some people would say that. But at the same time, here's a person's entire life on the line. And all of a sudden, this stuff comes out. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Danny, Georgia, on taxes. What's going on?
Yes, sir. I believe the corporate tax from 35 down to 20 ought to start immediately.
Agreed.
Can I say something about more while you're on the line?
Yeah, if that's all you have on taxes, sure. I mean, you held for a while. What else?
I don't have the power, but you might have. Could you get Gloria Allred, if that's her name, or this Washington Post guy to come up with you and tell them where they got this information at and why they had to pay this woman?
Yeah, I don't know that the woman was paid. Hey, Danny, I don't know that the woman was paid. I think that's a different person that we're thinking about. I appreciate you, though. I don't know if Gloria Allred would come on or not, maybe. I mean, I've had her daughter, Lisa Bloom, on, and although we disagree on a lot of stuff, she's certainly always nice to me, and we always mix it up nicely. But if she came on, I mean, what would she say? Gloria, where did you get the story? I'm not at liberty to say where my client is. That's attorney-client privilege. So I don't think I would get many answers from that. And I haven't read anywhere that the ones making allegations in the Washington Post were paid. Did you hear that, Kerry? I did not hear that.
No, I haven't heard that they were paid for their stories.
The only paid thing I'm hearing is that there's a woman in the Gadsden, Alabama area who's saying that I was offered a bunch of money from people to make allegations, but I wouldn't do it. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. A lot of people want to talk about Roy Moore. We'll circle back to that. We'll do Trump tweets off the top as well. Plenty more coming your way in the Joe Pags Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show. This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. Newsmax TV as well. Glad to have you along for the ride. It's the Joe Pags Show. Coming your way for a Tuesday.
It's Taco Tuesday.
What? Oh, Carrie, you had to make me do it, didn't you?
No, I didn't want to.
Everybody, a little of that.
Taco. I've got my tacos, my radio.
Taco.
A little salsa.
Taco Tuesday.
Taco. No enchilada, no cheesy nacho. Taco Tuesday, the Joe Pags.
Everybody, taco. I think I nailed it right there. Taco. Carrie, you do it.
Taco.
Wow.
Now me and Polo, we like the hot sauce. Joe like chorizo, cause he's the boss.
That's right.
Bean and cheese sparks.
That's her.
Nope, it is not.
She's full of corn, tortillas, and beans.
Taco.
It's Taco Tuesday on the Joe Pags Show.
Taco.
It's Taco Tuesday on the Joe Pags Show.
Taco.
I'm eating tacos with Polo.
Come on.
Taco.
Taco
Tuesday.
Taco.
Taco Tuesday.
Taco.
All right, Polo, bring it. Make it happen, dude.
Taco.
Exactly right. That's all we're asking for. Are we asking for anything more than that, Carrie? I think
no,
that's all we're asking for.
That's about it. Yeah.
All right, so that's Carrie Lockie, my news anchor, general pain in my rear end. That was Polo you just heard. Do we need to reset the Roy Moore thing? No, right?
No. I think pretty much everyone knows
we've got
up to speed.
Full phone lines. I mean, you can try to get through, but at this point, they're full. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. People want to talk about Roy Moore. I think that he should drop out, not because he's guilty, but because he needs to deal with this and not lose that seat for a Republican. He's worked hard. He won the primary. He should be allowed to run it. If he stays in, fine, stay in. But I think he's going to hand the seat to a Democrat if he stays in. So, in essence, the left, if this is an unwarranted attack, will get its way, but they won't win the seat. At the same time, if there's any truth at all to even one of these allegations, he needs to drop out and just go away. So we'll take your phone calls on that in a second. But as I said, as we headed toward the end of the break, or the end of the hour last hour, let's do some Trump tweets. Come home tonight. Trump tweets.
Again, a little lengthy.
What? I don't think so. I got to be honest with you, Locke. Look, I've gone to the damn Twitter, and I've asked the people, is that too long? Yeah. Is it bothersome?
Yes.
And yesterday was about the same as today's, and people just love it. Listen, here's the thing. If you love the intro to Trump tweets, and you do, go to Twitter right now, at Joe Talk Show, follow me on Twitter, and give me a comment. If you don't like the intro to Trump tweets, just leave Twitter alone. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. The first one is from 921 last night. Excited to be heading home to see the House pass a great tax bill with the middle class getting big tax cuts, exclamation. Next one is from 1208 a.m. this morning. Was in Dallas. He was in Dallas at 12. Did you know that?
I did not know he was in Dallas.
Could have gone right up there and hung out with the president in
Absolutely.
Dallas.
Absolutely.
Every couple of weeks, he likes to hang out with me.
No,
great to see at Rand Paul looking well and back on the Senate floor. He will help us with tax cuts and reform, exclamation. All right. Still in Dallas. After my tour of Asia, all countries dealing with us on trade know that the rules have changed. The United States has to be treated fairly and in reciprocal fashion. The massive trade deficits must go down quickly, exclamation. Next one, still in Dallas, 12:26 a.m., just arrived at Aishan 50 in the Philippines for my final stop of the world. What? How's that possible?
Are you reading them backwards or what?
No, it says this morning, the 14th of November, says in Dallas, maybe he's reliving his visit to the Philippines. For my final stop with world leaders will lead to fair trade deals, unlike the horror shows from the past administrations, will then be leaving for D.C., made many good friends. Okay, exclamation. I will be making major statement from the White House upon my return to D.C., time and date to be set. This is 1:23 this morning, because hashtag Trump don't sleep. Next one is from 3:07 a.m. I guess he was still in the Philippines, but for some reason it said location was Dallas.
All right.
But this one, it says location is Republic of Philippines. So maybe could that be a little insight into who's actually tweeting and where?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Could. I don't know.
One of the most accurate polls last time around, but fake news likes to say we're in the 30s. They are wrong. Some people think numbers which could be in the 50s. Together, we will make America great again. He's talking about the Rasmussen poll that puts him at 46% approval. All right. This is from 4:11 a.m. this morning. Thank you to the amazing staff and their families of the United States Embassy in the Philippines. Keep up the great work! Exclamation. All right. And the final Trump tweet for today is from 12:39 p.m. this afternoon. Thank you, Asia. It's actually all caps. So I should probably read it correctly, right?
Oh, I think you should.
Thank you, Asia! Exclamation. Hashtag USA. And then he's got a little his little flag. You know, because on the Twitter, you can put the emojis now. Give it a little American flag on there.
Yeah,
I think it's
nice.
Very cute. Very nice. All right, there you go. Trump tweets for today. We appreciate you waiting for those. I don't know. People are blowing up my Twitter. They seem to love the intro to the Trump tweets. Let's see.
Really?
Did not look anywhere near a signature. Okay, talking about Roy Moore's signature. Love the Trump tweets intro. That's from Latina somebody. I want to hear Carrie do Trump tweets. Laugh out loud. Says American Wolverines. Just found out I can get a talk show on my TV. Only two channels away from OAN. Turned him on just in time for Trump tweets. Hope you had a magnificent day, Joe. ATC, I guess, loves it. Monkey somebody, fake name, fake picture, says that was dumb. Now, when I see something like this, what my assumption is, Carrie, is that this is one of your troll accounts. I know you've got a few accounts that troll me.
I'm not a troll.
So
online.
You probably are Monkey Cracker.
No, I think that's probably not you. Not really. No, it would not be me.
William says, already following, love Trump tweets, look forward to every day. Jessica says, I think the intro could be even longer. Sorry, Carrie.
Oh,
so there you go. Jessica is right.
Yikes.
On. The people want more of the Trump tweets intro,
right,
I think.
I guess they do. Maybe
Mark says,
me.
Love the Trump tweets intro. Carrie Lockie has it wrong. I don't want to say this person's name, but for some reason they just replied to me with a retweet or something. Oh, the people are really loving it. Gee, Joe, I love the Trump tweets intro. Come on, Carrie. Admit Joe is on target.
No, right. I'll never admit that.
Love your Trump tweets intro from Colin, probably Kaepernick. Kaepernick got nothing else going on.
Yes, he's probably listening to your show.
Probably watching Trump tweets on my show. L says, love the Trump tweets intro. Wouldn't be the same without it. Chach says, you rock, JP. Keep up the great work and love the Trump tweets and how you joke around. I'm not joking around. What's he talking about?
I don't know.
Not joking
serious.
Around. The people, I'm telling you, they love it.
Okay. All right. Like I said,
Gina says Trump tweets needs a few more tweets in the intro. See, not long enough. I told you it wasn't long enough.
Wow.
Janet says Trump tweets, yes. The longer the intro, the better. Jeff says, love Carrie. Usually agree with her, but love the creativity in the Trump tweets. Keep it up. Look, the people are eating
creativity.
This up, Carrie. Why can't you get on board?
I just thought it was a little long.
It was
long.
Very creative.
That's all. Wow.
Very creative.
Okay.
Scott says, rock on with Trump tweets. And Latina Skew or something. Oh, KSU for Kansas State. I get you. Okay, I'm with you. But do me a favor, Latina. Don't just have some, usually the egg face. Put a picture on there. Put a KSU on there or something. It looks fake to me when you don't have a picture. You know what I mean? Just like an empty avatar. Now it's just like an outline of a head. So,
okay.
It just doesn't make any sense. Come on, give me a little something more than that. See, I can't stop now. Got to keep it. That's from somebody. I don't know how he says it. Somebody says something about the Luther Strange. Okay, they're still arguing about Luther Strange and stuff. Dude, we love the Trump tweets intro. Okay, and Zachary says, I don't know what small towns you've been to, but where I'm from, okay, this is something completely different. All right, so there you go. Carrie, so far I haven't had one person, except for the fake account that you made, that doesn't like it.
It was not me, but all right.
I didn't take a lot of calls last hour. We had a lot going on. Bottom of this hour, it'll be my interview with Holly Dunn. She survived the railroad killer. Her boyfriend was killed by the railroad killer 20 years ago. She's now a motivational speaker, has a new book out called Soul Survivor. Bottom of this hour at 30, you'll get that interview with her. When we come back here, a full segment of phone calls on the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
Joe Pags. We'll be right back.
are not doing well on this one, Karen.
Yes, and thank you for sharing those with me on
what?
Twitter. I really
What are you talking about? Defended you. I just defended you.
Oh, there it is. I see that. Okay.
Have you ever defended me ever in your life?
I have too. I do all the time.
Carrie's getting bald. I still don't know what Carrie does.
Yeah.
I still don't know what Carrie does.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate
it. And I said Carrie does a ton. I always have your back. You know who never has my back? You. Okay?
That's not true. That is not true.
You.
No.
So I will give you my standard
you
Twitter
all the time
answer to
here. Joe, I
the people being smart Alex like you. Oh, yeah?
I said Joe
Yo, mama.
Is
okay,
a great
that's what you're getting.
Co-worker.
Oh, when did you say that? When did you say that?
I always tell people that.
Never.
I do, too.
I walk into the building, and they say, you're not going to believe what Carrie said this time. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. A lot of people holding. By the way, the Twitter is blowing up. They love the Trump tweets. I had no idea it had such a following. But, I mean, people are waking their kids. People are making their mom listen to it. They're like, it's the favorite part. When you were off Friday, my daughter cried herself to sleep, didn't have the Trump tweets. I get it.
Oh, my goodness.
It is sweeping the nation. Let me go to the phone lines. I appreciate your patience. Rich is in White Plains, New York. Rich, what's going on?
Joe, thanks for taking my call. It's Roy Moore who deserves the benefit of the doubt, not the women making the allegations, and here's why. These women are all from Alabama. Roy Moore was elected not once but twice to the Alabama Supreme Court, and these women didn't seem to have any crisis of conscience then, but even if they missed their opportunity to keep this alleged bad man out of a position of power, they could have spoken out during the recent primary where Moore had to win twice to get to where he is. But no, they wait 40 years, two Supreme Court elections, two primary elections, and now when he goes up against the Democrat with less than a month, now they go. That in and of itself deserves the most scrutiny.
I got to tell you, in this country, legally, he has the benefit of the doubt. He's innocent. He hasn't been proven guilty of anything. In the court of public opinion, it's very different. And I'm not here to say Roy Moore did anything wrong. I'm not here to say that he didn't do anything wrong. I don't know what happened 40 years ago. What I do know is I spelled out, and you've been on hold a long time, so you heard all this. I spelled out the questions I have. And I think they're valid questions. I don't know how you ask somebody who's 14 for her phone number in 1979. That doesn't really happen because she didn't have a phone. There were no cell phones. She didn't have a private line. I don't know how you lock somebody in your car when you just pull the lock open and they get out. I don't know how you sign somebody's yearbook at the end of the school year when it's December. So there are a lot of questions here that I don't know the answers to. If Roy Moore is a molester, I want him out of the public square, and I want him to be excommunicated from our society, maybe face charges if he did it. If he's not, the guy's being dragged through the mud because the left wants the seat. What I think, Rich, and I'd love to hear your comment on this because you've held long enough to have the right to have this. Do you agree with me that he should get out of the way or else that seat goes to a Democrat? Because no matter whether he's innocent or guilty, that seat's going to go to the Democrat if he stays in.
You know, it's interesting that you asked me that, Joe, because I do disagree with you, and here's why. The same allegation or the same what you assert could have been made for Donald Trump after the Access Hollywood tapes came out. He stuck it out and won. Okay, I think if Roy Moore sticks it out, the people of Alabama are smart enough to know what a political move is. He'll get elected. These women will go away. Will fall into obscurity, and that will be the end.
Well, I don't disagree that he might win the election, but already the Senate Majority Leader has said, I believe the women. Already, even Ted Cruz, who was a big Roy Moore supporter, is taking his support away, saying, look, you've got to prove that these allegations are false or else get out of the way. So even if he wins, they might not seat him. The Senate doesn't have to give him the seat. They might just launch him out of there, and they can. So I'm telling you, if you don't have a Republican that can actually take the seat, you might be giving that seat up, and that's a problem as far as the Trump agenda goes. And again, if Roy Moore is innocent, and he is until proven guilty, but if he has some sort of way to get rid of these allegations and show some proof that no way, this is just a witch hunt, he comes back in a few years and tries again. But at this point, you're talking about legitimately derailing Trump's agenda if he stays in the race and loses, or if he stays in the race and isn't seated.
I don't think the news cycle is going to tolerate anymore after the election is over. I think if the judge wins, the news cycle moves too quickly. Popular opinion is going to change. The eat more, they're going to change their minds again. I mean, that's just the way, you know, things work. I don't see...
Well, Rich, I hear you. I'm not going to agree with you, but I think that you've made a good case. I think that, and I appreciate the phone call out of New York, I think that what has to happen is what we talked about yesterday. He's got to do something that disrupts this whole thing. And he can't just say it's untrue. He can't just say never happened. He can't just say didn't know her. Can't just make sort of half-hearted answers like he did with Hannity last week. If he sits down, Carrie, I really believe this, and I think that you agreed yesterday.
Yeah.
If he sits down and takes a polygraph on, like, live TV and passes it, I think he blows this entire thing out of the water. But if he doesn't make a huge step like that, I think that he's politically done.
I think so. Did you see the story I just sent you, what CNN is saying
No,
now?
Tell me.
That the RNC is what? Pulling their funding agreement with Moore.
Wow.
Yeah.
And again, that might tell people the RNC thinks he's guilty. To me, it tells people the RNC is serious about keeping the seat, and right now, whether he did it or not, of his own volition or not, he's a damaged candidate. And that's, I'm not surprised by the move. I'll put it that way. Let me go to Craig, who's in Illinois. Craig, what's going on?
Hey, no, this is Ken in Illinois.
All right, Ken, I'll call you Ken if you'd like. It says Craig, whatever you think.
That's fine. No worries. Listen, I think Roy Moore should stay in it, not because he would be a distraction, but because I really do believe that we need to get to the bottom of this and have an answer about what really happened. I'm glad he's sticking to his guns about this. All right, and
yeah, but we're not getting. Ken, I got to tell you, we're not getting any answers. So I'm not. What answers do you expect us to get?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't know. I think there ought to be an investigation done on it and find out. Yeah. You know, have the accusations proved. I've seen too many people, good people, get wrongly accused of things, and it be proven false, but the damage is done. And
right.
I think he needs to have his day in court. Now, I think we ought to have an investigation on it.
I don't think there's going to be a day in court. I think the statute of limitations are all over. I don't think there is going to be a day in court. So this is the court of public opinion. And you can investigate it, certainly, but you've only got 4 weeks of the election. So the timing is very suspect. But, again, I don't think you're going to fix the damage in 4 weeks.
No, but there's one other thing that's going on that has me really upset with all this. Everybody that has put their word, you know, saying that he needs to have a way to prove his guilt or innocence in the court of law has been called a pedophile and child molester on Twitter. I've been called it myself because I said I want this proven. I don't know if he's guilty or if he's innocent.
I went through that on Saturday. People were saying that I'm a molester and I'm a pedophile supporter and everything. You have to blow that off. These are fake accounts. They're bot accounts. They're far left-wing accounts, and they know that they're going to bother people like you. Don't let it bother you, Craig. Let it roll off your back because these people are nothing. And frankly, many of them aren't even people, or it's the same one person with 10 different accounts. And trust me when I say, there are these Twitter mills and Twitter, you know, banks where people go and okay, everybody tweet this with this hashtag right now to get it trending, and then people fall for it. We have to get to a place where we understand that Twitter is a mechanism to push thought processes this way or that way. You have to get that through your head. And once you realize that, you'll be able to blow it off more simply. At this point, I just say, yo mama, and then I block the person. And I'm very close to doing that with Kerry. 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com. We come back. A really interesting interview. Holly Dunn. You might not have heard of her before, but she's got a new book out called Soul Survivor. She survived an attack by the railroad killer, the serial killer, who killed her boyfriend and thought he'd killed her. Keep it here.
Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. I'm also Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Really glad to have you here. And really glad to have this author on, and she's got a life experience that most of us never, well, none of us want to have, but I'm glad that she's written about it. It's a story that I actually, as a television news anchor, remember covering. Her name is Holly Dunn, and the name of the book is Soul Survivor. Holly, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Really appreciate your time today. Let me give the website right up front, HollyKDunn.com. Go there and get her book, Soul Survivor. You say there's also a Soul Survivor website?
Yes, it's soulsurvivorbook.com. It's my tour dates and that sort of thing. So that's just my book website.
Okay. People will remember the Railroad Killer. That's what he was called. His real name was Angel Resendez or something like that. It doesn't matter. He's dead now. Right. Thankfully, he was executed because of what he did. We know he killed at least 15 people, and we don't know how many more there might have been. But here's a guy that basically would stalk the railroad system in our country and just kill at will. And you came face to face with him. I didn't realize that you were the one person who survived. And I guess because of you, he was caught, right?
Well, I was part of it. I mean, because of a Texas Ranger named Drew Carter and his family is why he surrendered. But I got to testify against him. So I was definitely part of the process in getting him the death penalty.
And I'm glad that you survived, obviously. I'm glad that he's gone and he got his just desserts. Let's set the scene. You and your boyfriend decide you're going to go for a walk. And look, I grew up around railroad tracks. Walking in the railroad tracks or near them was always a cool thing to do. Set the scene that day. What happened?
Well, it was only the second day of classes at the University of Kentucky. I was a junior. And I had just made a pact with myself that I was going to get really good grades and work hard.
Right.
And I went to classes that day. And then that night, I went to a party with my boyfriend and some of his friends. And it was, you know, it was a beginning of school party. It wasn't anything unusual, but it was a little dull. And so we went with two of our other friends to go take a walk. And the railroad tracks were only about 3 blocks from the party. So they were nearby, and we went to take a walk and put quarters on the tracks to have them be flattened by the trains. That was
right.
Clean.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did that. We went there, and no trains came by. We were there for almost an hour, and no trains came by.
Yeah.
So almost more dull than actual party. So our got up to go back to the party, and my boyfriend, Chris, and I stayed by the tracks and talked.
And this guy just showed up out of the blue?
Well, when we got up to leave, to walk back to the party, this man approached us from behind an electrical box. And wow. he had been there watching us because he knew that our friends had gone back to the party. So he knew that our friends weren't with us anymore. And so he actually ended up, I mean, he asked for money. We thought he wanted to rob us. And you know, it was that philosophy of throw him your purse and run away.
Yeah, did he seem like a vagrant? Did he seem like a homeless guy? I mean, when he first approaches, what are you thinking?
No, exactly. And I was used to having homeless people ask for money in Lexington. That was kind of a common occurrence.
Sure.
So the only thing abnormal about this was that it was at midnight. You know, it was dark. It's in a dark place. But that was the only thing kind of strange about it was where it happened and when it happened. You know, it didn't, I don't think we were fearful for our lives.
Yeah.
When it happened.
It's Holly Dunn. I want to give the book website again, and your website. It's HollyKDunn.com. D-U-N-N is her last name. Or you can go to SoulSurvivorBook.com and go and get this book. It is a harrowing story. It's a true story. This is a very, very bad guy. So as things progress, first of all, had your friends not left, had they stayed there and had all four of you just stayed together, you think he would have not wanted to take the chance of being caught, or he probably couldn't have taken all four of you?
Right. I think he definitely did not approach us while there were four of us. I think that he only approached us when there were two.
Now, does he speak English? Because the guy, he's from Mexico, and I think he was here illegally, just riding trains and doing what he did. Does he speak English? Is he saying anything? Is he just making motions? What does he do?
No, he spoke English very well.
Okay.
I actually could tell from his accent that he was from Mexico. I had been there as a child. I knew what that accent was. So I could tell that he was Mexican, but he spoke English almost perfectly.
Yeah, what did he say? Give me your money?
I mean, he said, do you have any money? And we said, no, we don't have any money. We're poor college kids.
Yeah.
And you know, it, we, as time went on, we started offering him whatever we could give him. So we're like, do you want our car? Do you want our credit cards? Do you want an ATM card? Do you want us to take, do you want cash?
And he's got a weapon. He's showing you the knife?
He had it on Chris the whole time.
Okay.
I didn't see it until he actually had already tied up Chris's hands and he came to me, and that's when I saw the weapon. So I didn't realize he had had a weapon until that time. But he tied up my arms with my belt, and he ended up pulling Chris into the grass nearby the tracks. He actually tied up our legs, gagged us. I stuck my tongue out, so the gag didn't work.
Right.
He would go back up to the tracks and like get into a bag or something. And there'd be several seconds where Chris and I would be sort of left alone.
Yeah.
Never far away, but he was far enough away that we could at least talk and try to strategize. And we were trying to always figure out how we could get away. I couldn't get my feet untied. I couldn't get Chris untied.
Yeah.
You know, the way I was going to, if I could get away, was I going to leave Chris there? There was just never enough time to really strategize, but we were definitely, I think, in survival mode.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was not enough time to try to strategize and do anything.
The name of the book is Soul Survivor. I want you to go and get it. It's an incredible story. Thank God you survived. Go to soulsurvivorbook.com or go to hollykdunn.com and make sure you get this. I'm not questioning what you guys did, and I'm not suggesting that you did anything wrong. I'm just asking questions because I'm inquisitive. The guy wasn't very big, 5'6".
Right.
How big was Chris? I mean, at any point, is the thought in these two young college people's brain, we have to try to beat this guy up or run away or do something? I mean, because we went from he approached you to you're both tied up.
Right.
How does that happen with one little guy? Is it because there's a weapon and you're not going to take a chance?
Right. And it was because of the weapon.
Yeah.
It was because...
And you're thinking, if I comply, I'm going to get out of this fine.
Right. And neither Chris or I had really were fighters.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
You know, it's not like we, either one of us had any kind of experience fighting anyone.
Understood.
I don't think that was our first thought, especially when you see a weapon. And he had told us that he had a gun. So I never saw a gun, but he had told us that there was one.
And you're thinking, like you said, give him the money, give him the purse, give him the car, doesn't matter. We're just going to get out of this.
Right. You want to give them what they want, and then they let you go. That's the thought. That's, you know, what you want to happen. But that he just never was satisfied with anything we offered him.
So this guy has you both tied up, both bound, both gagged. He tried to gag you, didn't work. And he's going away, then he's coming back, going away, coming back. At some point, he decides, I'm taking Chris out.
Yeah, he ended up, I remember him carrying over something heavy. I didn't know what it was, but it was a 52-pound rock that he came over and dropped it on Chris's head.
And just for no reason, just because he was just a disgusting human being.
Right. And, I mean, no... There was no...
He gained nothing by doing that. He just wanted to do it.
Right.
So you see this now, and you know Chris at least is in very bad shape, if not already gone. And then you're thinking, now I have to get out of this.
Right. That I think that's when I went into complete survival mode. Like, how am I going to live through this? Because I think I knew that Chris had gone. But I actually, like, asked him to go turn Chris's head to the side because I didn't want him to choke on his own blood because I heard him gurgling.
Right.
He actually... did it. And he came back over to me and he said, look, he's gone. Don't worry about him anymore.
Wow.
Try to fight him because I realized he was going to rape me. So at this point, I'm like trying to hit him and kick him in the balls and hurt him. And he stabbed me. And he said, look how easily I could kill you. I didn't feel it, but he stabbed me in my neck. And he said, look how easily I could kill you. And I just stopped. And he raped me. And he ended up hitting me in my face and in my head. I don't know. I don't remember being hit. I don't remember at all being hit, but he hit me probably 5 or 6 times in my face and 5 or 6 times in the back of my head. And he thought he had killed me.
That was my next question. Did he think that you were gone and that's why he left?
Yeah, no, he thought he had killed me. I think I laid there and played dead. But he thought he had killed me.
In dealing with this guy, and the name of the book is Soul Survivor. Her name is Holly Dunn, D-U-N-N, HollyKDunn.com, SoulSurvivorBook.com. Go and get it. Soul is spelled S-O-L-E. When dealing with this guy, when verbally dealing with this guy, because, I mean, it sounds like you talked to him a lot. He talked to you a lot. Did you just get the sense that you were in the presence of evil? I mean, there was just nothing behind his eyes? He felt nothing about what he was doing to you guys?
Yeah, no, I... definitely did not feel like I was with a person. Like, I mean, it felt like it was just evil. But I was trying to have him think of me as a person. That's what I was telling him. I had a family who wanted to see me again. I had friends who wanted to see me again. I told him I wouldn't turn him in. I told him I'd help him. I wouldn't turn him in. I wouldn't tell anybody what he had done. I was trying to befriend him so that he would want to not hurt me. Obviously that didn't work. And you know, if there's one thing that I think I did right, maybe in talking to him so much, he didn't have the adrenaline anymore to hit me with that rock that he hit Chris with, because right. He didn't hit me with that rock. He hit me with something else, thankfully, because I wouldn't be here if he had hit me with what he hit Chris with. So if he didn't have the adrenaline anymore to lift that rock, then, you know, I did something right that he hit me with something else.
For perspective, for those who are watching and listening, this is 20 years ago now.
That's right. It happened in 1997, 20 years ago.
All right. So in the 20 years since, I mean, obviously there was a lot of healing that went on. You're now touring. You're now speaking to people. And I'm guessing you're one hell of a motivational speaker for what you've lived through.
Well, thank you. I feel like speaking for me, it's crazy, but public speaking for me is like part of my healing process.
Yeah.
I really have talked about this and talked about what happened very soon after this attack, maybe a couple of years even after.
Yeah, I was wondering. I mean, I would not be able to talk about it for 10 years. So a couple of years later, you're out there talking about it.
Right. I was doing public speaking. That's how I started, was doing public speaking. And really, I saw it as sort of part of my healing process.
Yeah.
It felt good to be helping others. And I knew that helping others was how I could heal myself. So
was Chris the last person he killed?
No. We were some of the first people he attacked.
Really?
He actually attacked a couple of people before us, we later found out, but we were maybe some of the second and third people that he attacked, and then he killed 14 people.
Oh, man.
And so, I mean, we were some of the ones in the very beginning. And he's suspected in a whole lot more of murders,
right.
But those are the only ones that he's been proven that he did.
Do you know that before he was executed, he knew that you had survived? Do you think that he found that out?
I don't know. I would think.
Did you have to testify against him or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I did. He had to read it. He read his press. So I think that he knew that I was still alive. I don't necessarily think. I mean, my name hadn't been released still at that point.
Right.
So I don't know who I was. But of course, in my fear, you know, was not rational. I think he definitely knew I was still alive. He was actually spotted in Louisville at one time during the manhunt.
Oh, wow.
So scared because I was in Lexington, Kentucky, I was so afraid that I had to like leave the country. I went to school in England and I left as soon as I could because I could not be there anymore.
No, I don't blame you. I don't blame you, not even for a second. HollyKDunn.com, HollyKDunn.com, SoulSurvivorBook.com. Last question, and I want everybody to go and get this book because obviously there are so many more details that we can't get into here now. Go and get the book and read about this incredible story of survival. This is more of a general question, but I think a lot of people watching and listening can use some motivation, are feeling down in their luck or feeling like their life isn't going the right way. I mean, you had such an unbelievably harrowing experience that no matter what I go through the rest of my life, it's going to come short of what you faced and you came out of it. What do you say to people who are watching and listening right now who just aren't having a good time right now?
Well, you know, I think about people that oftentimes, especially when they talk to me, they kind of minimize what they're going through and their
yeah.
pain. I tell them never minimize what you're going through, because what you're going through is very serious and very hard. It's a tragedy for you. So, you know, whatever you're going through, you can get through it. And I mean, I think the number one thing I tell people to do is to talk about it. You have to be able to talk about it, whether it's to one trusted person.
Yeah.
Talking helps. And then, I mean, having a support system, I think for me, having an amazing support system got me to where I am today. So I think looking for people a community of people that can be supportive of you is like a support group or any kind of community of people that can help you. And then talking about it whenever you can, to whomever you can, just to someone that you trust, that believes you, that listens to you. And I think that helps tremendously.
Amazing. You've led an amazing life. I don't even know you, but I'm proud of you for coming out of something like this and dedicating your life to helping other people. Go and get her book. It's called Soul Survivor, SoulSurvivorBook.com or HollyKDunn.com. Holly, thanks a million. Can we talk again?
Oh, I'd love that. Thank you so much.
That would be great. We're back right after this in the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags Show.
All right, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It's the Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. It was just nuts, that story, right?
I mean, oh, my gosh. It's horrific.
Wow. I didn't remember that there was a survivor. I'll be honest with you. I thought that he killed everybody that he ran into.
It was such a long time ago when I was reporting it, I didn't know there was one, but I'm glad there was.
Yeah, me too. And I'm glad that she's telling her story. But can you imagine, though? I mean, here's this guy whose objective is to rape and kill everybody. And, you know, you're confronted with that. And your first thought is, I'm going to get myself out of this somehow. Because you're thinking he wants some food, he wants some money,
right.
He wants your jewelry, he wants your something, right?
Yeah.
So you're figuring, I'm just going to comply. When, you know, at that point, yeah, he's not a big guy. He's 5'6", and he's a little piece of crap. And you might be able to do something, even if you're not a fighter, but you're thinking, no, I'm just going to comply. I'm just going to do. I'm just going to do what he says, and we're going to get out of this. And he thought he killed them both, and she survived somehow.
Pure evil.
Pure dead evil. I mean, he's dead. He's been executed.
Good.
But that story, I remember how it gripped this nation, the railroad killer. It was nuts. And I'm really glad that she survived. I'm glad that she's out there telling her story, and she's motivating people. I think that if you're having a down day, even though she didn't denigrate it or try to dismiss it, but if you're having a down day, maybe think to yourself, well, I wasn't almost killed by the railroad killer. You know what I mean? I think
That
maybe that puts it in perspective a little
bit. I think so.
So I'm glad that she told her story. Hopefully people will go and get that book. Let me grab a couple of phone calls here. People want to talk about Roy Moore. Next hour, we're going to talk about the Pentagon story that Carrie brought today. So she did something for the show. The Pentagon is going to pay for, what are they calling it? Sex reassignment? Is it gender reassignment surgery or sex reassignment?
Sex reassignment surgery.
I don't know. Somebody born one thing thinks they're something else. And if they think they're Filipino, we make fun of it. If they think they're black, we make fun of it. If they think they're the opposite gender, you have to be for that or else you're somethingophobe. So I'll have that story for you. And also, if you missed my interview with Kevin Brady, I'll have that for you again next hour. I don't have a ton of time, Nolan, so do it in like 30 seconds. Go.
If the political aim is to defy the voters on who they select, then I just simply oppose that. Now, if the gentleman, Mr. Moore, didn't do anything, He absolutely should not ever resign. And that's all I have to say about it.
Okay, well, no, I hear you. I really do. But I'm here to tell you that they went from, you know, a race where he's up by 10 points to where it's even. And Carrie, during the break, do me a favor. See if you can find the latest poll numbers out of Alabama in that race.
I will.
I'm very interested to see where that is right now. Quick break here on radio. We're coming right back on television. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
This is the Joe Pags Show. The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com. It is the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride. It happens to be a Tuesday. Swing it! Oh, yeah. Blah! Boo, bitty, bitty, blah, bitty, doo, doo. Bop, bop. Doo, doo, bay, boo, dee, boo, bad, doo, dee, da, doo, bop, bee, bop, 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 bop. Along with my news anchor, General Pain in my rear end, it's Kerry Lockie. It's the Joe Pags Show. Let's go! Bop, 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 bop.
Crazy.
Uh-huh.
Hey, but that's how it goes. Billions of people living as fools.
Carrie, you seeing any of this analysis of the handwriting on that yearbook? You seeing any of that?
No,
online?
I haven't seen any of that.
Well, what's being called into question now, by the way, we're talking about Judge Roy Moore and a couple of people still on the line. We'll take those calls. Also, Carrie's got it all ready to go. This transgender person in the military is, I guess we're going to pay for the damn surgery now, which is ridiculous. Yep. So we'll talk about that, certainly. Bottom of the hour will be Kevin Brady, House Ways and Means Committee Chair. Really gives great explanations about this tax reform bill that they're working on. We'll do that for you, too. Have it for you this hour. But I guess there are people who are breaking down the handwriting. Reddit asks some questions. Reddit is a website I don't use much. But to me, when you go and look at Reddit, it resembles to me more like the old bulletin board system. It's just like a forum. It's not very fancy. You go there, people just write comments about certain things. And I guess people are breaking down the handwriting. I'm just going to give you what's being said on Reddit. I'm looking at the signature, the yearbook, right?
Mm-hmm.
To a sweeter, more beautiful girl, I could not say Merry Christmas. Christmas 1977, love, Roy Moore, DA, 122277, Old Hickory House. So I'm going to throw a couple of things out there. And I don't know if this is the original color or what. I don't have the yearbook in front of me. Nobody else does either. It's her yearbook. But it does appear to be that the to a sweeter, more beautiful girl, I could not say Merry Christmas, and Christmas, they all appear, and then love, they all appear to be in black ink to me. The 1977 next to Christmas appears to me to be blue ink. And the Roy Moore, DA, 122277, Old Hickory House, that all appears to be in blue ink. I don't know why one would be black and one would be blue. Also, the to a sweeter, more beautiful girl, whatever, that's all written in cursive or a script, depending on what part of the country you're in. And the Roy Moore part appears to be in script, but then the DA part is printed, 122-77. The 77 looks very different than the 77 in 1977, and Old Hickory House is all printed underneath all of that, and it appears to me to be in a different handwriting. Now, not a handwriting analyst at all. Roy Moore, the R and the M look the same in this as they look in signatures that we know are Roy Moore's signature. Does that mean that he signed this? No, it doesn't mean anything other than I'm looking at it just with my eyes, and that's what I see. If this signature in the handbook or in the yearbook, if this little passage that's written in this yearbook, if they're fake, then the woman's entire story is fake. And that's just, I mean, there's really nothing else to ask about it. Now, the questions that are being asked on Reddit, and this was posted on my Twitter by, I don't know if it's really Ann or not. I hate when you guys use fake names on there. Just freaking use your real name and put a damn picture on it. It's really not that hard. I mean, my face is out there. My picture's on it. The whole name is out there. Come on. Anyway. The questions that are being asked on Reddit allegedly are, why does the pen change color from Moore and onwards? Why is the handwriting also different in a different color ink? Why did Roy write his name as Ray? It looks like Roy, too. It doesn't look like Ray, so I think that's invalid. Why did he write Merry Christmas 1977, and 122277, all in the short message? He probably wouldn't have. I don't know why you would have to write 1977 that many times. I don't think you would. Why did the handwriting of the 7 change? It did. The 7s are different. There's a little loop in the beginning of the 7s on the 122277. Why did Roy use initials DA when he was deputy at this time, therefore DDA or ADA? He wouldn't. I think that whoever wrote this thought that he was the DA in 1977. He wasn't. And why was the yearbook signed at Christmas? And those are all good questions. Look, these are valid questions. I'm going to tell you again. Unlike other people out there calling for Roy Moore to step down or get out of the race, I'm telling you, I am not persuaded to believe any of these women any more than I believe him. And I'm not persuaded to believe him more than I believe any of the women. I am going into this completely open-minded to hear what the information is. The reason I'm saying it would make sense for him to step aside is because Carrie, you've got the story of the Los Angeles Times. Tell the people. Yes. How is Roy Moore doing in a state where he should be up by 10 points?
Roy Moore, the Republican candidate for Senate Alabama, has lost his lead in the race in the aftermath of allegations he had sexual contact with teenagers years ago. And the election is now a toss-up, a new poll indicated Sunday. Moore trails Democratic candidate Doug Jones 46% to 42% among Alabama voters, a lead for the Democrat that is well within the poll's margin of error of 4.1 points in either direction, according to the new survey by Louisiana-based JMC Analytics. That finding is consistent with two overnight polls that were released since the allegations first came to light Thursday. Before the news broke, Moore had an 8-point lead in the race, reflecting Alabama's heavily Republican tilt, and the election is scheduled for December the 12th.
All right, so we've got stations in Alabama. If you're listening in Alabama right now, and we've got a station, WFPA, that is heard in the part of Alabama where this stuff allegedly happened. What's really happening in Alabama? Now, when I say Roy Moore should get out of the way, settle this, take care of it, then come back when it's all taken care of, you know, provided he can, you know, squash these allegations. Yeah, he has... I think he should definitely come back. But at this point, you're going to lose the seat. So, yes, they tried to get rid of Roy Moore. They've been successful. If the election were held today, if the polls are true, he would lose. Then you say, yeah, but Pags, the polls said Hillary's going to win. And Donald Trump slaughtered her electorally. He did. I'm with you. But I'm here to say, if they get this seat and one more, that's it. You're done. The Trump agenda is dead. And what's more important? You know, just by principle, staying in the race and losing, well, at least I really tried, or getting out of the way and making sure that seat stays red. That's the question you have to ask. I'm not alleging that Roy Moore did any of this stuff. I'm also not alleging that he didn't do any of it. I don't know. Neither do you. There are plenty of holes in the stories of these women, and I've outlined them. Unlike others, I will outline them. I've seen other conservatives and other pundits and other people who lean right on talk radio, on television. I've seen them roll and say, I believe the women. I really think that I'm saying he should get out of the way because you're going to lose the seat. I'm not saying he should get out of the way because he's guilty. So I understand the angst and the consternation, but I'm here to tell you he's down by 4 points, but it's within the margin of error, so it's really even. He's not up in the polls at all anymore. He was up by 8 points in 91, and it should have been double digits. So at some point, either he does that bold move that I suggested, take a polygraph on live TV, pass it, then you win easily, or get out of the way, let the seat stay red, and then you run again when there's another open seat in Alabama, and that could be in 2 years or 4 years. I'm not sure when the other guy's seat is up. I'll go to the phone lines. A couple of people still holding on about Roy Moore, and then when we come back, Carrie will have that story about how we're somehow paying for this, let's change our sex surgery in the military. Mike, what's going on in Ohio? Hi. And Mike's gone. You know what line that was?
Line number two.
Line two, some would say. All right, when we come back, we'll have a story about that. Will taxpayers really be paying for sex or gender reassignment surgery for somebody who is mentally confused about what his body is telling him? Yes or no? You probably know the answer as to that's why I'm asking it. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
My jam. Bottom of the hour, it'll be Representative Kevin Brady, District 8 Republican, great state of Texas. He's from the Woodlands. Did you know that? Woodlands. Or you can ignore me and pretend that you didn't know that. I don't know.
I didn't know you were talking to me. Or you're talking
to the
people.
What the hell am I talking to?
I thought
myself?
You're talking to the people. Your people. We love you so
people
much.
Can't answer.
I did
1-800-383-9624. I guess somebody is posting something over on the social media. The Gateway Pundit is reporting something about the nephew of the woman who complained about Moore says that she's lying. Here's the problem I have with the Gateway Pundit. I've always liked them, but when the airport shooting happened in Fort Lauderdale, remember, what, about a year ago or so?
Yeah.
Guy from Alaska gets off the plane, takes his bag into the bathroom and loads up a gun, comes out shooting people.
Yeah.
They put a picture up and identified the wrong guy.
Oh, that's a big problem.
And I went with it. I attributed it to them, but I went with it. I retweeted it or whatever. And then I went to the guy who runs the joint. I know the guy's name. I don't know him. I was like, dude, you can't do that. You want to be a valid news source. You want me to rely on you. You cannot do that. I didn't get a response from him. So I can't use that anymore as the source. Now, if somebody else wants to source the fact that they talked to the nephew and whatever, and then I'll say, well, there's corroborating information out there that this guy said this about his aunt. But I just can't use that as the main source. I wish them well, and we all get it wrong every once in a while. That's a big deal. I mean, in an effort to be first, you found somebody with the same name and put it out there. I thought that was, I know that was bad. So that's why, those of you wondering why I'm not running with something the Gateway Pundit said, I don't dislike them. It's just that I have to have it corroborated by somebody else before I just go with it. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. All right, so what's the deal? The Pentagon says we're paying for this now? What's up?
Yeah, this is from NBC News. A Defense Department document says the Pentagon will pay for sex reassignment surgery for a transgender service member. NBC News reports the surgery is the first such procedure approved under a waiver allowing the Pentagon to pay for the operation. And the patient is an infantry soldier who identifies as a woman, according to a source close to the service member. In August, President Trump signed a memo to halt future funding for sex reassignment surgery and to bar the Pentagon from accepting transgender recruits. Multiple organizations filed lawsuits challenging the president's move, and a federal judge blocked both bans last month.
So because the ban was blocked for now, I'm sure it'll continue to a higher court, we're paying for it. Does it say how much it costs?
It does not in this story.
It's thousands of dollars, and we're paying for it suddenly.
Yeah.
So, in other words, people who are confused, they've got mental illness to where they don't accept the biology and the science that is true that says what gender they are, they can now join the military and get some free surgery.
Yeah.
And I'm not being sarcastic. That's kind of the deal, right? I mean, that's what's happening.
It is, yes.
We cool with that? 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. I'd rather spend the money getting the person's the mental help they need, the mental health, you know, evaluation that clearly is lacking. Because you know me, I'll just say, no, it's a boy, pass potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're a girl, pass potatoes. I mean, it's just, it's evident what they are. It's evident what their body's telling them, what biology's telling them, what science is telling them, what nature's telling them. Yet we're giving in somehow. Now, I'm just wondering if a Rachel Dolezal, who is not black, who thinks she's black or wants to be black, says, hey, I'm in the military and I believe that I'm black. I believe that I was born in the wrong skin tone and I need you to give me skin pigmentation surgery. Should we pay for that?
Nope.
Or the idiot from yesterday who said, hey, I'm really Filipino. Do we pay to change that person's features on his face to maybe more closely resemble what somebody from the Philippines might look like? We should probably do that, right? What's the difference? Or somebody says, I really believe I'm a dog, so you should probably remove my vocal cords and give me surgery on my legs so that they can be utilized better for my canine needs. Should we pay for that? At what point do we say, okay, here's the line, you can't cross it? At what point do we say these confused people just need some help? I have no hate for people who call themselves transgendered. I have no hate for anybody who is unhappy with his or her body and what nature and God and science has given them. I have no hate at all. I want to help them. I think there should be help. And it doesn't make any sense to me why... Look, if somebody's that confused, why do we want them to remain in the military? If there's that level of deep confusion, why wouldn't we want to have that person out of the military, get evaluated, and go? Because if you're that confused about what's so extremely evident and what's known scientifically, who's to say you won't be confused when you're giving your orders? Who's to say you won't be confused when you're told, you know, what the next mission is? I suggest you might be. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Let's go screenless on this one, I guess. Let's say it's going to be line 3. Hi, who's this?
Hello,
who's this? Scott, hold on. Scott, where are you calling from?
Illinois.
You want to talk to Pags?
Yes, please.
Because he's kind of an idiot.
Wait, this is Joe.
What? Hello? Hey, Scott, what's going on? You're on the air. What's happening?
My thoughts on the transgender thing is kind of like abortion. I just don't want to pay for it. I don't want tax dollars to pay for it. That's all.
Our tax dollars shouldn't pay for it. The idea that we are paying for it is just something completely off the reservation. Doesn't make sense to me. If you're that confused, pay for it yourself. Because science says you don't need the surgery.
And I do kind of think that I feel bad for those folks, because I do think there is something mental going on there to completely deny your biology. I think that should be addressed as well.
Well, you and I agree. I do feel badly for him. I appreciate it, Scott. Thanks. I feel bad for him, too. I do. I think that it's a struggle that's real. Carrie, I can't imagine somebody would want that kind of angst.
Right.
I can't imagine somebody would want to be unhappy with his or her body.
Right.
But there's something that is going on there that I think can be analyzed, can be helped. You know, at some point, you have to say, you know, honestly, I'm confused and I need help. Not I'm confused, cut this off or add this thing. That doesn't make sense to me. It's unscientific. It goes against nature. And it's so weird that the liberals are so for this. I thought they were for, you know, nature and science and all that. Ryan, Corpus Christi, what do you think?
It's totally nuts, Joe. Totally nuts. No pun intended. I mean, if a guy, if he's an infantryman and he goes to surgery, is he going to go back to that unit again?
I don't know. I can you? I have no idea how it works.
That's crazy. It's nuts. They don't think it through. They just want to please everybody or please a small percentage of people who want that. And the rest of us have to, you know, pay for it out of pocket. I work hard every day for my money and pay taxes, a lot of taxes. And they're going to do this? It's crazy. I was in the military. That's nuts. That's nuts.
Ryan, I appreciate you calling in. I think Ryan just wanted to say nuts as many times as he could. What do you think, Carrie? I'm getting the feeling.
You may be right.
Ryan just wanted to say nuts a lot of times on that. What is this? What did you just send me?
Oh, it's for Thanksgiving. Stovetop is selling these stretchy pants for Thanksgiving.
No, hold on to that.
Maternity pants.
Hold on to that.
Okay.
Hold on to that. We will do that story. You can eat all you want on Thanksgiving and still be comfortable afterwards. Is that what you're telling me?
That's what I'm telling you. Yes.
All right. Very good. When we come back, We're gonna have Kevin Brady. He's the House Ways and Means Committee Chair. He's the one writing the tax reform bill that President Trump has. He's worked with this guy very, very closely to get this bill done. The House bill looks like it's going to be passed this week, and then that means by next week they're hoping that there'll be a Senate bill that can convene it. And it really does feel like it's going to happen before the end of the year. Going to be very, very interesting to watch. So when we come back, we'll have that. A lot of your questions about the tax reform plan will be answered in this interview. So keep it right here on the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Stations across the land, iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, also Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Really glad to have you here today and really glad to have this guy on. It's the House Ways and Means Committee Chair, District 8 Republican from the great state of Texas, Kevin Brady. Kevin, how are you?
Hey, Joe, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Hey, it's always an absolute pleasure. As you know, a week and a half ago, I'm sitting in the White House. I don't know how I got there. Kevin, I don't know how that happened, but out of 5,000 talk show hosts, I was one of five invited. So,
wow.
Congratulations. Thank you. I think I mentioned your name, and the president was like, well, we got to have him then. we're in the East Room, and I'm sitting there with the president of the United States, and boy, he's just glowing about what he thinks this tax plan will do. And, I mean, literally beaming like he's a proud daddy about it. So let's break it down. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 tax brackets right now. This new plan will give us how many?
Go to 4 tax brackets. And we take the bottom one to actually to 0. And so that gives us tax relief at every income level.
Let's talk about tax brackets. The left is saying, and Schumer was giving Pinocchios about this, but
yep.
The left is saying that you're taking the 10 and 15% tax brackets and you're screwing them and you're making them both pay higher. They're saying actually 0 to 10% will now pay 12%. Is that true?
No, absolutely not true. In fact, we take the 10% bracket and make it zero, and we double the standard deduction, which means we protect more of the first dollars that families earn. In fact, this is exactly, I always like to point out to my Democrat friends, this is exactly what President Reagan did as well, backed by Vice President Biden, Vice President Gore,
right.
And other Democrats as well. So they know this issue. They're just distorting it.
So 10% now goes to zero. Say we double the standard deduction, Kevin, can you, in layman's terms, explain that to my viewers and listeners? What does that even mean?
Yeah, so bottom line is we get to protect a certain amount of money tax-free from Uncle Sam. That's a good thing. Today, it's about $6,000 a person and around $11,000 for a married couple.
Okay.
So we double that to $12,000 and $24,000 that is tax-free. From the government. We fold in the personal exemptions and then we create a family tax credit. So bottom line is a lot of not just modest income, middle income families, one, get their tax cuts up front, and secondly, will no longer have to itemize. In fact, I think 95% of Americans will be able to file using the simple postcard style system and won't have to itemize to get their tax cuts.
It's the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, Kevin Brady. You know, and that's exciting, but I think that when we say things like double the standard deduction and the
people
we're busy working and stuff. So you're trying to break that down doesn't make a lot of sense. The left is saying the middle class is not getting a tax break at all. In fact, if you look at the secret taxes that are in this thing, which I'm not sure what the secret ones are, the middle class is seeing an increase to pay for a tax break for the rich. Do you even have to respond to that? Because it's just dumb.
No, you can't even make that stuff up. In fact, Joint Committee on Taxation says the opposite, that there's very strong middle-class tax relief in here because there's a couple things we do. First, we do protect more of those first dollars you earn. We lower the tax brackets and rates at every level. We create this new family tax credit that is not just bigger, but doubles in number of Americans who can use it. And we get rid of things like the alternative minimum tax. That's that second tax that Uncle Sam uses to get you. And so all that results in very strong tax relief for the middle class.
It's Kevin Brady, House Ways and Means Committee Chair. He's marking this thing up and getting it done. We're going to talk about how you're ahead of schedule in a second. But other accusations from the left is, and I've never understood this, and Kevin, I think last time we spoke, we discussed this. Why is it that the lie that you have to pay for tax breaks even exists? I mean, I'm just a dumb guy. You know that. You've known this for years. I'm kind of a dumb guy. But if you tell me I get to keep more of my money and the government is going to get less of my money right off the bat, that doesn't tell me that I have to pay for my tax cut. It means I get to keep my money and the government needs to spend less money, no?
It is your money, and that's our point of this. And it's also your time. You know, the amount of time people spend to do their taxes is just continues to grow and grow and grow. And so we want a tax code that's respectful of people's time, that is simple and fair and flat. And think about this. Can you imagine a code so fair and simple that each of us knows what each other's deductions are?
Right.
Because we have exactly the same ones. And we're really pushing for that type of simplicity. And by the way, in Texas, for example, where I live, look, this will create over 80,000 new jobs. And a family of four in my community, two teachers, will save over $2,000 a year, which Washington thinks isn't much. But I'll tell you, for families, you know, that's important. You can do that. You can do a lot with
that. A lot of money.
That type of tax cut.
It is. It's Kevin Brady, House Ways and Means Committee Chair. Always appreciate the time. Where are we getting the number $1,180 to every taxpayer?
Yeah. So
because immediately we get that number,
for
right?
The average household in America makes about $59,000 a year. So that it varies from state to state and area to area. But for that family, they get a average tax cut of about $1,100. You know, a small business person on Main Street just making $60,000, they see a $3,000 tax cut. So this really drives toward those modest and middle-income families and local businesses in a big way.
As I was talking to the president and to Kellyanne Conway and to Cliff Sims and all these other folks at the White House, they were saying it really effectively will be more like $4,000 or even $5,000. Where are they getting that? It sounds like that repatriation of money has something to do with that.
Yeah, it really does. So we're not banking on tax relief alone.
Yeah,
we're talking about raising paychecks. Growing paychecks. They've been stagnant for a decade. So every economist looks at what we're doing here, how it grows the economy, vaults America back into the lead pack worldwide. And companies like in Texas who compete and win worldwide, today we block them from bringing their dollars back to be reinvested in our country. Here we open it up. It's a zero tax rate. So you know, economists estimate that not only do you get tax cuts, your paychecks increase. And in Texas, they expect just the median household will get to, we'll see an extra $2,500 a year in higher paychecks. And so it's got two big benefits for families.
It's Kevin Brady, House Ways and Means Committee Chair, Republican, the great state of Texas, District 8. So with this money coming back, did I just hear you right? 0% tax? Now, they're already paying tax in the country where they are.
Yeah.
So we're not going to tax them on top of that.
We tax ours here. We tax them abroad. We punish them to bring them back to America.
Well, as it stands today,
stop
Kevin,
doing that.
If they were to bring it back today without this tax reform bill that you're heading, it would be 35% on top of what they've already paid?
Yeah, and less what they pay in the other country. Bottom line is they don't bring it back. They leave it outside, and why do we do that?
Do we know how much that money is? Is it $3 trillion, $4 trillion?
Last time I asked for an estimate last year, it was $2.5 trillion. Okay. My guess is the president thinks, probably told you, he thinks it's well over $3 trillion
he said
dollars
four.
Of
he
American
said four
profits
to me, yeah.
stranded overseas.
He thought it might be four. It's Kevin Brady, House Ways and Means Committee Chair. I've got to ask you this because it's confusing for people. I think I get it. Wages, as you said, have been stagnant. They've increased, I think, 0.1% in the past 8 mm-hmm. to 10 years, while profits for corporations have gone up 11%. 11% by all this regulation, all this Obamanomics. So now with this tax reform, the people who are against it, who don't understand it, are saying, why wouldn't the corporations just keep all the extra money? Why are they going to share the wealth? Why are they going to give it to the wages or hire more people or expand their businesses? What's the impetus? What is the what are we doing in this tax reform plan that will be the incentive for businesses to reinvest that in their people, research, development, and more?
Yeah, so look, profits don't drive paychecks. Productivity does, and in business investment. And that's our problem. That's the missing ingredients. You know, businesses have not been investing in local plants, equipment, software, technology that really drives workers' paychecks. They've been cutting expenses. They've been investing elsewhere. So what this whole tax reform plan for businesses is saying, invest now, invest here in America, and invest in the type of equipment and technology that allows your workers to be more productive. That's what creates paychecks, and this is why this is so different than Obamanomics and all these other things where they just say, Washington, spend more. Here we're saying, look, local businesses will tax you less, invest more, and that's a big difference.
House Ways and Means Committee Chair Kevin Brady, we always appreciate the time. As you know, we're heard and we're listened or we're viewed all across the nation. So in California and New York, they're saying Kevin Brady and Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell want to punish Californians and New Yorkers who don't vote their way, because in high tax states, there are people with big mortgages and people who have higher income who they feel are being taxed unequally. Is that true?
You know, I don't think so, and here's why. I think the current tax code double taxes people. It raises taxes on every American, regardless of what income level they're at. So some can get a state and local deduction.
Yeah.
And so the current tax code, basically, we all have high taxes and we subsidize each other. Rural communities subsidize cities, middle income higher, low tax states higher. So we have a simple proposal. Why don't we stop doing that? Why don't we lower tax rates for everybody and you just pay your own taxes, so local tax. So for the first time, Washington doesn't punish you or reward you based on where you live. It's a big change, but it's a fairness issue. And in those high tax states, by the way, California, New York, they still see tax cuts because we're lowering those rates.
And why don't they complain to their state leaders to lower their own taxes as it is? I mean, they're being taxed so much already.
I think that's the key. Look, the biggest problem here is those local mayors and governors are really pushing for themselves to be able to continue to increase local taxes. That's the problem.
This broke right before we started speaking. The Senate says now it wants the Obamacare individual mandate gone as part of the tax reform bill. Can that happen?
Yes, it can, and I'm encouraged by the fact they believe they can add it and keep it in the Senate. So far, they haven't produced any health care-related reforms. This would be very encouraging if they could put this in. It's certainly in the House side. There's a lot of interest in adding it at some point. Certainly the president, who visits with me regularly, would like to see this happen too.
Now, I know that you've got to run. Last question on this. Before we started doing the interview today, you said you're a little bit ahead of schedule. The president would like to have this signable by Christmas. It looks like you might be able to convene or think about convening between the Senate and the House by Thanksgiving. Is that a reach?
Yeah, so we intend to move it out of the House this week. And, in fact, we thought we would begin work tomorrow on it. We're going to start here in the next few minutes to start that whole process. The Senate's going to take it up next week. So, yes, right after Thanksgiving, we're going to start to work the differences out between the House and the Senate. Our goal is to get the president's desk by Christmas.
Are you apprehensive that it's going so smoothly, Kevin?
Well, it is. This is a big challenge.
Yeah.
And so we've still got a lot of improvements. And, Joe, look, we're Republicans. We think you improve things every step of the way.
Right.
And even on the House bill, I think we can continue to improve it. So I'm excited about us moving it out of the House for the first time in 31 years.
He's a great representative, been a friend of mine for a long time. Thank you so much for coming on the show for all these years. And thanks for the insight on this. I think there were a lot of questions that you just answered for my viewers and my listeners that they weren't getting anywhere else. Kevin, I appreciate you.
No, thanks, Joe. Take care. Let's stay close on this, okay?
Yeah, we will. Absolutely. House Ways and Means Committee Chair Kevin Brady. Appreciate the time. Back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
Glad to have you. Welcome. It is the Joe Pag Show. Really glad to have you along for the ride. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. Do me a favor. Stop by facebook.com/Joe Talk Show. Go ahead and like the page. Follow the page. Whatever the hell you have to do. And then you get the updates and you'll see what we post and everything else. Zuck hates that. Also, at Joe Talk Show on Twitter. Twitter hates when I build an audience there, so make sure you stop by there. And Instagram is Joe Talk Show. All right, a couple of calls on the line. We'll see if David is still there in Yakima on line 2, because line 2 is weird. And then Carrie's got a story about you could eat all you want on Thanksgiving and still feel comfortable.
Yummy. Mm-hmm.
That's the story, right?
That is the story, yes.
You're ready for Thanksgiving? Are you going to stay in town or are you going to go away?
No, we're going to stay in town.
Okay, what time should we be over?
Well, your wife and your children should come over maybe about 2. 2:30.
So in other words, you're stealing my shtick. You're acting like this is you saying it to me because I
I am stealing your shtick.
You
I'm inviting everybody in your family but you. Yep.
I'll be there with bells on. Yeah. Michelle is in Texas. Michelle, what's going on? Hi. It's not working. There it is. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
What's happening? You're on the air.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm living the dream. How are you?
Good. Thank you for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
I currently have a son serving in the Navy, has been offered a contract for the SEAL. However, they backed off on the contract because he needs the LASIK eye surgery, which they won't pay for. So he has to figure out personal time off and pay for that expense. So why would they pay for a sex change and not for a LASIK eye surgery for someone that wants to serve them in a very serious matter?
Well, I'm guessing they're calling the LASIK elective, right?
Sure. I'm sure.
I mean, I would argue that any sort of gender reassignment is elective because, again, sure. your chromosomes and your DNA and your science already say what you are. You're electing to change it for some reason.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm with you. Listen, you and I agree, Michelle. I'm not sure if Michelle was like eating or watching TV, too. But the bottom line is, yes, I agree. We were going to open up the Navy and the Army and the Air Force, the Marines. We're going to open all that. All those great, branches of our armed forces to any elective surgery you want. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, at some point we have to understand this is a mental illness. You know, Carrie, there are some people who don't want to have the limbs they have.
I know.
It's very rare, and I don't know the name of it, but they would like to cut their arm or their leg off.
Yes.
And because they feel as though the arm or the leg doesn't belong or something. Do we now start saying, well, look, that's how they feel. Let's go ahead and do that. Let's pay for it.
No.
I would say no. All right, quickly if you can. So why is it that we can eat all we want next week?
WFTV 9, Thanksgiving lovers are in for a treat. Stovetop, a popular stuffing brand by Kraft, is selling Thanksgiving dinner pans to make Thanksgiving dinner a more comfortable experience. The super stretchy pans let you eat as much as you like without the constraints of jeans, khakis, or dress pants. And they come in a maroon color with stuffing patterns on the pockets and waistband and range from size small to extra large. And the pans are made from a fabric astronauts use and can expand 2 times the original size. They'll be selling the festive pants until November 30th for only $19.98. You can buy them on the website thanksgivingdinnerpants.com.
I'm getting two pairs. Awesome. I don't care. All right, let's do some pop culture. Bye. Dirty pop. Come on, Polo, make it happen. What's up?
All right, so you had heard, I think you had actually talked about LiAngelo Ball and two of the other UCLA basketball players getting arrested over there in China.
Yep.
Okay, so have you heard the latest that they got, in fact, released and they're safely over here in the United States?
Is Trump going to get credit or not? That's what I want to know.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, of course, the TMZ is reporting that, you know, powerful people such as the president and president, I guess it's GZ, and Jack Ma, who's supposed to be like the richest man in the world or whatever, worked on their release. But of course, when I guess people were tweeting at Jemele Hill, she was not willing to give the president any type of credit whatsoever. So,
because that's who she is. We got to get out of here. For Polo, for Carrie, for Karina, for Sam, Joe Pags, see you tomorrow. Bye.
You're listening to Joe Pags.